Greetings, Earthling.
In a world, in a symphony of debauchery, two strangers must work in tandem, and the task ahead of them is vast and treacherous. Can they face the challenge? Will they survive? Michael Connor, Connor and Josh Beard. It's Connor and Beard.
Hour two of Connor and Beard is here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Connor is out. He didn't show up to work today. He said he was self-suspending. I think he just wanted to give himself a free day off. So he is not here, and Joe George is in for him. You can find all of us. We're still the radio boys. At Josh Beard Radio, at Joe George Radio, and at Carlson Radio on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You can call it whatever you want. Michael has convinced me to come around more to calling it X because that's what the platform is actually called now, even though it annoys me. You just don't call it anything? You just say on socials?
Maybe if Elon... No, I call it Twitter.
Oh.
Maybe... Now, look, Elon looks like he purged bots last night. Everyone was talking about all these bots going away and, like, Twitter followers dropped like crazy because all these... Well, they're porn bots. Like, that's what they are.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden started vanishing off X, Twitter. Like, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Maybe he got it right for once.
So maybe if they keep doing things that are right, will you start calling it X, or are you going to keep calling it Twitter?
I'll probably still call it Twitter.
You're so old, man. You got to come around to the new way of thinking.
It's a
new year. It's 2024, Joe. You gotta come around. And speaking of 2024, are you ready to do some way too early at the beginning of the year NFL power rankings?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't this like the best thing in the world?
I love this.
It is the middle of February. The NFL season just ended. And I am so ready to figure out these power rankings. So there's two sets of power rankings that we found. ESPN did some early NFL power rankings, and The Athletic did some power rankings. Okay. So let's dive into the ESPN rankings first. If you had to venture a guess of where the Texans would be in ESPN's rankings, where do you think they are?
10th.
10th? I think that's a good guess. Andrew, you've already seen this. Do you remember what it is?
Yes, I remember both of them. So
all right,
I'm probably not the best person to ask.
He cheats all the time with stuff like
this. Have
you
seen this?
I have seen it, but I was the one asking the question.
Oh, yeah. So. I made sure not to look
for
that reason, because I knew you were going to ask me this.
Yeah, I looked. I cheated this time, but I was allowed to cheat this time.
Yeah,
Michael also yells at me for cheating on these things, too.
Because I feel like 10 is right where they probably should be.
Yeah, I think so. In the first one, the ESPN, they have them ranked as 9th.
Okay.
They're 9th in their early power rankings. This is what they have to say about the Texans. The Texans hit on a quarterback in C.J. Stroud last offseason, have $61 million in cap space, so their window to maximize Stroud's rookie contract is now. But also the organization has the most free agents, 30, entering the offseason. All of them were at one point on the active 53-man roster, while 8 started at least 10 games. The 2024 Texans definitely look different. GM Nick Caserio and Coach DeMeco Ryans must build correctly to continue the momentum created by winning the AFC South title. And that little blurb was written by our friend and Texans ESPN writer DJ Bieniemy.
Okay.
So, I mean, spot on. Everything makes sense. But you look at the teams that are surrounding them, that are in that realm. At number 7, where do we feel, or how do we feel about the Texans being number 9 with some of these other teams? So you look at number 8, it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
Fine with the Eagles being ahead of the Texans?
For now.
All right. Number 7 is the Cowboys.
Yep, that's fine.
You're okay with the Cowboys being ahead of the Texans?
Yeah, I still think, like, even though they choke, they're still a good regular season team.
The offseason in 3 words for the Cowboys was one more try.
The Texans have a lot of questions. Like, DJ points it out there. There are so many questions.
There,
like,
are.
There's so many snaps that they have to replace.
But there's a lot of hope there, too.
For sure.
You can get better in a lot of those areas where you're losing snaps.
Absolutely. And I think you can get better easily, and sometimes it can be cheaper. I don't think it's going to be that hard to replace Dalton Schultz, personally.
Correct.
I think you can easily replace him. I'm number one guy, Noah Fant. I think replacing Gernard is not easy. But we've seen Nick Caserio kind of get in his bag with Derek Barnett, Jerry Hughes in the past. Like, you have Will Anderson on the other side. I think you can replace that in the draft as well. Like, I don't think we've overhyped Cashman. I like Cashman. I think he's a little overhyped. To me, the hardest ones to replace is corner. But, like, they can replace all these guys without breaking the bank.
I'm not super concerned about corner because I think if they draft a guy, like if Kool-Aid?
Yeah, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
If he is available
there's
there.
There's so many. There's like 4 or 5 corners that are probably first rounders.
There's that kid out of...
Quinion Mitchell?
Yes.
From Toledo?
He'd be awesome.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's the Iowa kid, DeJean, Cooper yeah. DeJean. I think that's how you say his last name.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent at the cornerback position.
Especially in that around that 23 range.
So to me, it's just you have to replace two of them, though. Like, you have to replace
King.
That's
fair.
Because, like, you already cut King once.
Right.
And then Tavier Thomas really sucked. So you brought King back. So you had to have two guys. So that to me is where, like, I think nine is good and why I would have the Cowboys in front of them because of how many snaps the Texans have to replace.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a good point. And one of the areas where I wouldn't mind them splurging and spending a little bit of extra money is at the cornerback spot.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, especially with Jalen Johnson out there. That is a guy that.
Yeah, him and Snead.
Yeah. Oh, Snead would be great. I just feel like they're going to find a way to keep him there. I think that's one of their priorities is keeping Snead.
It should be.
Absolutely should be. But so the Texans have a lot of questions. But nine, it feels like the right realm. I'll be honest, the one area where I feel like one team should move up and probably move up to nine in front of the Texans and then move the Texans down to 10th, they have the Bengals at 13th. Like, that's wild to me that the Bengals fall all the way to 13th whenever they didn't have Joe Burrow for a large portion of the season. Their offseason in three words is make receiver decisions. So, yeah, they have to figure out what they're going to do with T. Higgins. We all feel like they're going to franchise tag T. Higgins at this point.
Yeah.
But 13th feels... like, I awkwardly guess, low.
It's so funny. Like, I did the math in my head, and I ended up, like, the way I ended it was with the Texans at nine. And even though I said 10 seemed right,
yeah,
I had the Bengals in front of them. So I'm curious what 6 through 1 looks like.
Six. So starting off at number one, the Baltimore Ravens are first in these power rankings, which I feel like is, I mean, they were wrong. Good, but it's wrong. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
I know Chris Jones is gone, but I feel like the Chiefs should be number one in this power rankings. Number three is the San Francisco 49ers. Fair.
Makes sense.
Four is the Detroit Lions. Fair. Five, Buffalo Bills. Six, Miami Dolphins. I feel like that's a little high. Seven, Dallas Cowboys. Eight, Philadelphia Eagles. Nine, Texans. And then 10 are the Green Bay Packers. Those are that's the top 10 in the ESPN power.
Okay.
Rankings.
I mean, I think that makes sense. I'm still surprised. I guess, like, when I did it, I did not have the Dolphins there. I'm not a Tua believer.
Correct.
I'm definitely like team, like hoping that Jeremy Branham's a genius and hoping that the Dolphins suck this year. And for some reason, Mike McDaniels gets fired and Mike McDaniels is the OC of the Texans next year.
That is one of my favorite conspiracy takes.
It's so impossible, yes. But like, just like, I'm hopeful because he won't get fired. They'll just replace Tua.
Right.
But I'm surprised they have the Dolphins in front. Like, I'm not a believer that team is going to be good enough to ever do anything.
All right, so if we're not big believers in the ESPN power rankings, why don't we move over to the Athletic early power rankings and see what they think about where these NFL teams are.
Can you tell me who wrote it for the Athletic?
Who wrote it for the Athletic is Josh Kendall. Josh Kendall wrote it for the Athletic. So at number one, they have the Kansas City Chiefs.
Makes sense.
They should be. Number two, San Francisco 49ers.
This guy seems very intelligent so far.
Number three, the Detroit Lions at number three.
Okay.
Do you feel like you fell off? Did he lose you a little bit with number three?
I just got this weird suspicion about the Lions this year that, like, this was their shot, and I don't believe that they're going to get close again.
That's fair.
It doesn't mean that they're not going to be good in the regular season, but, like, we kind of talked about yesterday in the Bs. Like, I wouldn't stun me if they don't win the division next year.
No, it wouldn't stun me either, but they're still going to have a ton of talent.
The NFC is so weak, they're for sure a playoff team next year.
Retaining Ben Johnson was by far one of the best things that could have happened for them, keeping the continuity within the offense.
100%. But, like, I get it. Like,
I personally, three is a little high.
I think they're right in that range, 3 to 5, so I'm okay with it.
All right, number four,
okay.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Makes sense.
Fine with that. And number five in the Athletic's early 2024 power rankings, the Houston Texans.
Wow.
Number five in the Athletic's power rankings, the Houston Texans. I'll say it again in case everybody missed it or they don't believe it. This is what they have to say about the Texans. The Texans are one of the big movers since the last publication of these rankings. Rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud put 45 points on one of the league's most aggressive defenses in the playoffs, beating the Browns 45-14 in the wild card round, and was named Offensive Rookie of the Year. His offensive coordinator, Bobby Sloak, is back after taking head coaching interviews, and Houston has $57.4 million in cap space. Can somebody, for the love of God, please tell all of these people one number when it comes to cap space.
Dude, it's wild.
It's anywhere from $57.4 to $72 million.
It's wild. It's so hard to keep track of.
Okay, Josh Kendall, anybody else who's writing anything about cap space for the Texans, just follow Texans Cap, at Texans Cap on Twitter. He will give you the number. Everyone use that number moving forward until things change. Oh, my God, this is crazy. But yeah, they have tons of cap space, but five is high.
Man, I think the Texans' future is so bright. I still lean to the fact that they're going to replicate the Astros more than anything. I'll be honest, like my gut tells me right now the Texans are not going to make the playoffs this year. Like that's how I feel right now. Yes.
Why?
The schedule, it's not about a first place schedule. The schedule is brutal. They lost all these guys. They're going to have to replace so many snaps. Like, I think there is a better chance the Texans follow the Astros' path, which is make the playoffs as a surprise, miss the playoffs, win a championship.
I
think the Texans are more primed to do that than make a run this year. I'll be honest.
That's fair. I've already said before that I think 2025 is the true start of their championship contender.
That's like your real 3-year while CJ Stroud's on a rookie contract, Super Bowl window without having to pay him.
You would be very hard pressed to convince me that they won't make the playoffs in 2024. Though.
It's a tough schedule, and the AFC is so daunting.
It is, but they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Fact. If you have that, you make the playoffs
for sure.
How often do teams who everybody by and large consider CJ Stroud to be one of the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the league? Right,
totally agree.
How many of those teams with the top 5 or 6 quarterback miss the playoffs?
The problem is that probably when you do your top 10 quarterback list, you're going to have one in the NFC.
That's fair.
And that's why I think it's so – I hear you. But the math has to change because Joe Burrow is going to be healthy. You know, if you go back in time a little bit, I was actually watching Chris Long talk about this yesterday. The 6-10 49ers before Jim Harbaugh's first year were not good. His first year, Jim Harbaugh with the 49ers, he turned Alex Smith into one of the – like.
That's
biggest,
fair.
Like they took one of the biggest jumps in the NFL. They went to 13-3. So you have Jim Harbaugh in the Chargers. Burrow's healthy. Rodgers is healthy. Like you still have Mahomes and Lamar. I'm still kind of this believer that there's still something there with Deshaun Watson. So it's not an anti-Texans thing or anti-CJ thing. It's they play by far in the best conference. And I think if you don't win your division, which the division will still be challenging.
Yeah.
Like. I just think it's a crapshoot to make the wild card, like it was this year if Jacksonville didn't lose that last game.
I think that's where the difference between us is I just don't see them losing the division. If they get better, they do have to replace a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
But they have enough cap space that they are going to get better. And they were already contesting for the division with these two teams. Now, when it comes to the Colts, they're going to get Anthony Richardson back, and maybe that improves them.
Or makes them worse.
Or who knows? We don't know. But it could make them better. But if you're telling me right now the Texans were AFC South champions and they're only going to get better and add more talent through the draft and free agency, I don't really see a path, even with a first-place schedule, where they don't win the AFC South. And I think that's the difference between the two of us.
No, I think that's fair. Like I expect the Texans to be right there to win the division. I'm not sure that this division has more than one playoff team.
Andrew, how do you feel about the Texans at number 5 on the Athletic's power rankings?
I love it, but I do think that it's crowning them a little bit too soon. I would love to see what they do this offseason before saying, hey, yeah, the Texans are potentially the 5th best team in the NFL next season. Like, do I think that they are a top 10 team in the league next year? Absolutely. But there's still a lot of business that needs to be taken care of before we are having those sort of discussions. But, hey, if you want to project them having one of the best offseasons in the NFL, sure, go ahead and put them at 5 because there's every chance that they're capable of doing that.
Texans number 1 on the power rankings. They're going to go 16-1 next year. Book it. Just put it in there. That's what's going to happen. Coming up next.
Do I write that on your guarantee thing?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I said put it on the books, not the G word. Coming up next, Michael is not here today. Joe is in for him here on Connor and Beard. So I am going to ask you Michael's Astros question of the day via Josh. Coming up next on Connor and Beard on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with two dudes just slogging through life with no direction or motivation. Just like you, it's Connor and Beard.
Connor and Beard here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Connor is not here today. He decided not to come in. He said he hated me and Andrew, and he had needed a day off from us, so hates us. You know what? We hate you too, Michael. He's not here today. Joe George is in for him, and normally at 1:16, what we've been doing is we count down the days until pitchers and catchers report for the Astros, which is tomorrow, one day left. Michael has been asking his big Astros question of the day every single day. He's not here, so I have to take on that mantle and ask this question. So the big question for the Astros today, if you want to get in on this, 713-780-3776, call in or text in. If the Astros make it to the World Series, it will be because of blank.
It will be because two of Verlander, Fromber, and Javier are who we thought they were. We think that they're Cy Young caliber pitchers at times. Like, I still believe Christian Javier. Like, I had a ticket on him to win the Cy Young last year. Obviously, it was not close. But, like, there's still, like, the World Series performances, the playoff performances. Yeah. What he can do, he's nasty.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he's been part of, what, 2-3 no-hitters now? I think it's two. He is a stud pitcher. And I thought last year, frankly, I thought he looked out of shape. I think that he really struggled with the pitch clock. So he has an offseason to figure that out.
I think he and Fromber both. Like, that pitch clock really affected the both
for
of
sure.
Them.
And Fromber is, like, Fromber is so hard because he's so damn good, but it really feels like that, like, when Dusty told him he can't pitch in the All-Star game,
screwed him up.
And then, yeah, he threw the no-hitter the day they traded for Verlander. And then he was so bad, so just more down than up ever again the rest of the season. He just, every single time there got a runner on second base, you saw the mental breakdown look like it was just happening right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, the body language. I don't know that I've ever watched a player in any professional sport whose body language you could see shift in the moment more than with Fromber Valdez.
And it's not like the lunatic unhinged pitchers that we've seen.
No.
Like before he was just like, I mean, he was always a scumbag, but like, it's not Trevor Bauer throwing a ball over center field and throwing temper tantrums on the field. It's like, and I wouldn't even say it's pouty.
It's an uneasiness.
Yeah.
You can see the anxiety in the way he moves, the way he'll rub the side of his head. He starts to sweat, which, I mean, he sweats a lot anyway. Yeah. But the way he sweats, he even changes the way he wipes the sweat off of his brow whenever he's playing. If he's feeling good, he'll wipe it. I'm not even kidding. Watch it this season. If he's feeling good, he'll wipe to the left side of his body. If he's not feeling great, he'll wipe away from his body, which is like a huge posture change of you're wiping away, which means you're backing up, which means you're trying to hide from the situation. It is crazy watching those little different mannerisms change on Fromber. And people are going to say, Josh, you're insane for real. That's not how it happens. Watch him this year. I swear it changes depending on the situation that he's in.
I expect a full video breakdown of that.
I will. It's one of my biggest conspiracy theories, and I haven't told anybody. And this is the first time I brought it up out loud. Everybody, my family calls me crazy, but it happens every single time.
Yeah, I mean, they got to figure it out. Like, if those guys, that's why I said two of the three. You don't need all three to be like that level of good again. But you need at least between Verlander, Fromber, and Javier, you need at least two of those guys to revert back to form of what we expect them to be. And frankly, like, I think that's a lot to ask of, no offense, an old man and Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Like, you need Christian Javier and Fromber to step up this year and be the guys that, one, you already paid, and one that you hope is going to win a Cy Young and is still trying to fight for a contract here.
Like, if you had to pick two of them, like, who do you think are the two guys that are really going to step up?
Javier and Verlander.
Yeah. Well, you just is it because you don't have faith in Fromber being able to turn
mentally
around?
Weak. I think he's mentally weak.
Yeah.
Like, I want to love Fromber, but like, I can't buy in. Like, I would love to see him go out and prove me wrong this year, but it just feels like whatever was going on in 2022 is that guy seems gone, and maybe it can come back and he can fix it. I also like I don't like talking about this stuff because I feel like I'm just going to get crushed.
You are.
But, like, he definitely was, like, a big spider tech guy. Like, even in their playoff pushes, like, it was so clear that, like, he had, like, way more stuff on the back of his jersey than the average pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the other guys don't do it, too. But, like, these rule changes, I feel like, the way they attacked that affected Fromber more than it did other guys. Like, even like we saw, like, Garrett Cole, it affected him quite a bit. Like, there were pitchers throughout baseball. I feel like Fromber when they changed the rules and pretended like they actually cared about it once again, even though it's a mistake to care about that stuff because it makes the pitchers more dangerous and have less control, I feel like it really affected Fromber in a negative way. So between that and part of it is like the disaster ball fielding.
Yeah.
Like when like he has to run towards home plate and grab a baseball.
Full panic
like he
mode.
Makes the most absurd decisions and throws I've ever seen. So it's just I love Christian Javier, and I've seen JV do it, even though he chokes in the playoffs. And so he got that finally got that World Series win. Those are the two I would pick.
He panics anytime the ball gets hit anywhere near him. He panics in the same way I panic whenever I don't know if I've cleared my internet history and my wife wants to use my computer. It's like a full on. Oh my God! Please don't do that. I don't want this to be happening.
If I was Joe Espada, I would literally tell him unless the game is on the line and you're pitching in the bottom of the top of the ninth inning, hold it.
Yeah.
Like, hold it. We've seen pitchers literally roll the ball to first base because John Lester can't throw a pickoff throw.
Yeah.
Like, literally, acknowledge your weakness. Just don't touch it. Just grab just it.
Grab it and hold it.
Or just let Yiner do it. Stay on the mound at all times, please.
Yeah, I would be totally fine with that. Andrew, same question to you. So the question of the day, if the Astros make it to the World Series, it will be because of blank.
Well, my answer would have been basically what Joe said, is the question marks on the starting rotation don't play to their ceiling because I think that's asking a bit much. We're not going to see what happened in, what was that, 2022 again, where basically the entire pitching staff was healthy and awesome the entire season. I just don't think that's a realistic ask. But if, let's say, the non-big three in the bullpen step up, that's going to be my thing. It's like, look, your bullpen is awesome. We all know that the back end, once you get to the sixth inning, if you have a lead, you should be all set and good to go home. But you know, some of those other guys in the middle, maybe a Rafael Montero bounce back. We'll see what we get out of Forrest Whitley. There are a lot of question marks in the middle of the Astros bullpen. And if you already have question marks in your starting rotation, it's not usually great for those bridge guys to also be an uncertainty. So I'll say if the middle of the bullpen guys play to, I don't know, 75-80% of their ceiling, then the Astros are going to be a really, really formidable force, especially on the back end of games.
I'm going to go a little different direction than you guys. I'm going to say if the Astros make it to the World Series, it's because we get bounce back seasons from Jose Abreu and Jeremy Peña.
Do you think there is a bounce back season to be had for Abreu?
Not like,
because I do feel like second half of the season, to me, the back injury was very clearly real.
Yes. And it affected him in a huge. There was a vast difference between recovering from the
for
back
sure.
injury, Jose Abreu, and what we saw at the end of the season.
Yeah,
I don't know that we'll ever see like peak White Sox Jose Abreu again. But I felt this for. We've talked about this a few different times. I feel like there is a small bounce back for Jose Abreu before he's done with his career, and I feel like it's going to be this year. If a whole off season to get right. Be healthy and get ready for the season. I do feel like there's going to be a bounce back for Jose Abreu. I also feel like Jeremy Peña is going to have a bounce back. It's really rare to see a window and a moment that Jeremy Peña had in the postseason a couple of years ago in 2022, and not to see that in a much larger window later on. I get a sophomore slump. He's trying to fix some things. He's trying to do some things. Things aren't going right, especially like the mental aspect of it whenever we joked about it earlier, but when you do continue to hit the ball to the second baseman over and over and over again, it becomes this mental block that you have to get past. And sometimes you just need time off to correct it and get right for you to really like try to bounce back from that. So I know there's questions with the pitching, and I know that that's, you know, the pitching wins championships, right?
For sure.
But if Jose Abreu and Jeremy Peña have bounce back seasons to any degree whatsoever, and you add that to the lineup that the Astros already have, I don't know how many teams can stop them from like a pitching or an offensive perspective at any point. And so if you get the lineup clicking in that way with the pitching bouncing back in the right way, oh man, this isn't just make it to the World Series territory. This is just dominate in the World Series territory.
Well, and so where, like, I like where you're going with this is that, like, obviously we've all discussed the bullpen. 7-8-9, healthy, going to be sick.
Right.
If the lineup improves in the way that we're hoping it does this year with what you're talking about with Abreu and Peña, kind of turning back the clock for Abreu and Peña just getting back to a little bit more of what he was his rookie year but still improving.
Right.
And then you have Yiner in the lineup. if two of the three are that good between the bullpen and the lineup, our concerns, Andrews and I, is about the rotation, it dwindles.
Not as big of a deal.
Because there is no team in the American League that has like elite starting pitching that is going to stop you from winning the World Series. Yep. That's going to shut you down in the playoffs. Like the Rangers, like the guys are still on the roster, but most of them aren't going to pitch for the first half of the season. If at all. So like you don't really know what like Scherzer. I don't even know if DeGrom's in the picture right. this year.
The
so
Mariners like, starting rotation, it has some nice guys, but it's not nearly as strong as other teams. It's not as strong as the Astros.
I think the Mariners are the team to worry about this year.
I don't disagree with that.
I do not think the Rangers will be second place or first place when the season ends in the American League West.
How far do you think they fall?
I think they'll be right there. I think there's a chance the Rangers could still be a wild card team.
Yeah.
But I think that the Mariners, I love the top end of their talent so much.
Yeah.
They have one of the best young players in baseball.
They do. He's and exciting to
I
watch.
I love Luis Castillo. Like, he is a stud pitcher. They're just an odd organization, so that's the only thing I don't know about them. The last two times they were in playoff contention, they traded one of their best bullpen arms. They did it with the Astros. They traded Graveman. And they did it last year. They traded their closer around the deadline, and they had closing issues the rest of the year. But like, remember, they were in it with the Astros and Rangers all last year at the end of the season.
Right.
So like, I hope you're right about Abreu, because I don't need the home run numbers to ever come back.
No.
His last year with the White Sox, like his RBI numbers were down, but that's because he was on a poor team. But the double numbers and the average was way up again.
And you saw that at the end of the season and in the postseason with him.
Yeah. Like if he needs like the what you want from Jose Abreu is somewhere between 21 and 22. Where like in 2022 he had a 304 average, but he only had 75 RBIs. In 2021, he hit 261, but it had 117.
Yeah.
Like if he can get back to like a 260, 270 guy and get you 80 to 90 RBIs like he had last year with the Astros,
you're gonna be in a real
he's
good
a
spot.
He's a game changer for yes. this lineup.
Yeah, and if you on any given night, if your weakest spot, you only have one weak spot where it's just Jake Myers, yeah. you're feeling really good. And there are some lineups where you don't even have to worry about that at all if those two guys bounce back. Could be a big year. We're going to see how it's going to play out. I hope Jose Abreu has a bounce back season, but we'll see with the Astros. Pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow. But coming up next, it's that time of the Tuesday show. It's time for Factor Cap on Connor and Beard here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But guys, if you love playing fantasy sports, you need to do what I do and take that sports action to the next level with Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. I have been in sports heaven all during the football season. I'm going to continue to be in sports heaven with football season over. Basketball season's really heating up. We're about to get baseball season, and there's no better way than to turn all the big games that you're going to see into 100 times your money than with Prize Picks. Just select two or more players and place your entry. It's that easy. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I love the easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and that huge selection of players and stat options. This week on Prize Picks, I'm going to be looking at Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. I want to see if Steph Curry can go for more than 29 points, see if Luka can go for more than 32 points. Those are going to be the players that I'm going to be selecting for my entries really, really hard this week, and you should too. Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. And right now, Prize Picks is going to match your first deposit up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app. Once you do, you're going to see how easy it is to use. You can choose from some promos from some of the other celebrities and people on Prize Picks. The app is really, really intuitive and very, very simple. So just download that Prize Picks app and use code Josh975. That's code Josh975. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
God loves a terrier.
Okay, Houston, time for you to play along with Michael, Josh, and Andrew on Factor Cap. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Time for you to decide. Factor Cap. Factor Cap. Factor Cap.
That's right. It's time for Factor Cap here on Connor and Beard. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We do this every Tuesday at 1:30. And typically, I'm not the one that gets to run it. Michael has to run it, and then he makes fun of how bad it is. So he can't do that today because he's not here, and Joe George is sitting in his spot. Have you ever done Factor Cap before?
Yes, I have.
You have? Yes. Oh, yeah, you have. You've done it at least one other time.
Yes. I think I did the first one.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did do the very first one. I did the very first one. That's true. Well, I have a special factor cap. We have some Astros scenarios for you, but then we have some other scenarios for you. So don't read ahead because
I'm not even looking at the run.
I want your real true reaction to these.
Okay.
All right. So first on factor cap, Yordan Alvarez is going to hit 40 home runs in 2024.
Fact.
Fact. Instant fact.
50.
Are you just going to go ahead and call 50?
I think he's going to stay healthy this year.
I just don't know if he does.
I think he's going to stay healthy enough to hit 50 this year.
Okay. So you're going fact with hit 40 home runs. I'm going to go cap.
I don't think that it's just not true. It's cap.
I don't think he's going to stay healthy enough.
Hater sitting to my left here.
Yeah.
Andrew.
That's all right. That Nadge is here today. There's still a little bit of Nadge. Negative ass Josh. It's all right. I just don't feel like he's going to be able to stay healthy, especially if he's playing left more.
You're probably right. I just don't want you to be.
I know. It's fine. I don't mind that. Also, why didn't Joe get a fact on his fact?
I was so stunned by the fact that for the second time in the show, he's claimed that Yordan Alvarez is going to chase 50 home runs.
What? He's a monster.
That's absolutely fair. He is a monster, but like we haven't even seen him do 40 yet. So to claim 50 already.
He's been pretty close.
He has been. He was three away one time, but he can't stay healthy enough to even get 40. So let's just get the 40 first. Andrew, factor cap on this one.
And that's facts.
I do think Yordan hits 40-plus bombs this season, but I'm not as drinking the Kool-Aid over here like Joe.
This is
a little Kool-Aid.
Here's the thing. What does 40-plus mean?
I don't know, up to 45.
We're five home runs apart?
Yeah, there's a big difference between 45 and 50, Joe.
Five is not a big number.
45 is my ceiling.
I can count that on one hand.
No offense, but five extra home runs when we're talking about in a full season. These guys play 162 games. And if you're looking at it like from a mathematical standpoint, five is a fairly large number whenever you're talking about guys only hitting 40 in 162 games, right? How many hits did Yordan have last year? How many total did
he hit? 120.
So he had 120 hits. He had 144 the year before, 149 the year before that. So five extra home runs within that many hits is statistically a pretty large jump.
I just don't think it's that much of a jump.
I think it's a pretty huge jump. Okay, I'm nominating you for Bad Take Boulevard for 50
home runs. Well, I think he's going to chase 50.
You know what? I won't nominate. I'm going to nominate you for Optimistic Take Boulevard.
If he's at 42 with like 4 weeks left in the season, all we're going to be talking about
is can he get 50, but he won't. With 4 weeks left, eight home runs in 4 weeks is possible, but it'll be difficult. And it's
such a large number, I can't make a wager on it.
Yeah.
Because it is.
You want to guarantee it? You have your guarantee.
No,
list.
No, I don't do that.
Come on. Okay, guarantee at least 45 something. Give us something juicy.
I don't want to guarantee this.
Just put it on the books,
There might be fireworks, and he has to take 3 days off. Like, I am optimistic, but, like, he literally does miss all the time for random things. Now, we might know more about, like, which hand is hurt now that Dusty's gone, but he hits at least 40.
Okay. All right. Do you guarantee that?
Sure.
No, I'm not going to make you guarantee that. Next on Factor Cap, Alex Bregman repeats his 2019 performance. Factor cap.
As much as, like, I think he, like I said earlier, I think he can play in a contract year. 2019 was so good, I'll say cap.
This cap!
For him to repeat his 2019 performance, for him to fully repeat it, he would have to be insane. 164 hits. His OPS was over 1,000, which is nuts. His batting average was .296. Like, the guy was absolutely insane. He hit 41 home runs that year. MVP caliber player. I'm going to say cap on this, too.
That's cap.
I would love it.
Totally cap. That means lie.
I think there are people that are expecting him to be able to repeat this because it's a contract year. I think a lot of people are kind of feeling the same way you are about this.
Yeah, but some of these stats in 2019 are so absurd.
Oh, it's wild. Even in his other best seasons, he came kind of close, but not really that close to repeating what he did in 2019.
I mean, his average hasn't been above .270 since 2019.
Right.
He walked 119 times.
And then the next season, now I have far less games, but the next season was 24, then 44, 87, and 92.
Yeah, I mean, the walks are back up, so like that's good.
That's nice.
I think the reason why he can't most likely do, it's not possible for him to do this, he's too picky.
That was
Alex Bregman at the batter's box is like putting food in front of my son. Like, I don't know if he's going to love it or hate it.
Or throw it over the side.
And if, like, he might like it, a.k.a. it's a pitch, like, a centimeter off the plate, but he's going to complain about it at the same time.
Yeah.
He's too picky.
Yeah.
He, like, got too smart.
He also needs the juice balls, too. If they reintroduce the juice balls, then I think he could probably have a better chance of doing it.
I would love for him to do all of this, the walks, the batting average. I don't need the home runs.
Okay, that's fair.
If he gave me 20 to 25 home runs, like he's done the last 2 years, but the average and the walks are up, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We've been batting around the idea of Bregman at leadoff.
Like, that'd be interesting.
Because all he does is get on base, right?
Yeah. So just, like, let him do that to start games.
Yeah, the pop's not there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really – the base running's just as bad as Altuve. It's probably better than Altuve.
But then we'd never get another Bregman and Yordan back-to-back ever again.
That's true.
And I like those. I have the back-to-back bobbleheads. It's, like, one of my most prized collections in my office.
Altuve and Yordan back-to-backs be more
fun? Oh, never mind. Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. Andrew, factor cap on this one.
Stop the cap.
I think that Alex Bregman has a really good season this year, but repeating 2019, there's just zero chance that I think he's even physically capable of doing that anymore. But between what we've talked about with the juice baseballs, where it just sort of perfectly fit the way that he hits and the sort of launch angle that he generates, like, he's not getting anywhere near 40 home runs. If he has 30-plus home runs this season, I think he'll get close to 30, maybe scrape 30. If he does that, he's had a phenomenal year from a power perspective, given the player that he is currently. So I think Alex is going to be great. I think he's going to have an OPS mid-800s, maybe to 900, hit 25 to 30 home runs, hit 275, 280. But he's not going to do more than that. We know who Alex Bregman is now, and it just simply is not anywhere close to that player he was when he was competing for the MVP trophy back in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, enough of these Astros questions. We got our baseline questions. Let's get to the real questions we want to ask Joe in Factor Cap. Connor and Beard at 12 to 3 is the best show you've ever been a part of from 12 to 3. Factor Cap.
Cap.
Wow, dude, really?
It's not true. It's Cap.
You're just going to immediately, you didn't even think about it. You're going to immediately say Cap on that one?
Yep.
Why?
I can't say their names.
Why can't you say their names?
Because they're your competitor.
Oh, wait. From 12 to 3?
I produce their show quite a bit.
How dare you? How dare you?
You guys will get there.
No, that's absolute garbage. I thought this was supposed to be an us against the Killer Bees thing, and I walked right into this one. Okay, next question. Joe, Josh and Michael are funnier than Jeremy and Joel.
Fact.
And that's
okay, I'll take that.
We don't tell jokes.
That totally made up for literally everything else.
The only joke on that show ends up being me.
Yeah, that's true. They just make fun of you the entire time.
Yeah.
Their jokes, whose dad jokes are worse, mine or Joel's?
Well, that's a good question.
I think mine are, I know a little bit more of what I'm doing. Is Joel intentional with his all the time? I know how much people are going to cringe.
See, I think, sometimes I don't think Joel realizes that, but there are some that Joel finds that literally, like,
he just nails it.
They actually, like, very much make me laugh. The hit rate's low for all dad jokes.
That's false. You'll get there, though.
I think Joel's hit rate is higher than most.
Wow. Okay, that's fine. I could take that. We did have one listener factor cap, cap on this before we end. This one's super mean, but I said I would do listener factor caps. Josh's manhood will grow 4 inches for a grand total of 5 inches this year.
Cap.
What?
I'm just saying that it's just not true. It's Cap.
I'm going to say fact because I'm already there and above. Thank you very much. I'm over the 5 inches. I'm over that. So we're fine there. So this is all Cap all around. Andrew, you do have to participate. I'm not letting you back out of this one. Fact or Cap on this one?
I just have to turn my mic on. So I'm going to turn it back off and not participate.
That is Fact or Cap on a Tuesday. If you have your Fact or Cap questions, 713-780-3776, or you can go to the YouTube.com, search ESPN Houston and watch us and put your question in the chat. But if you have any other Fact or Caps that you'd like added to a future Fact or Cap, go ahead and send them in and I'll add them in to another one. But I have a question. We talked about the Texans a little bit today. Could the Texans' offensive line look a little bit different than what we think it'll look like next year? We'll talk about that next on Connor and Beard here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Look at our family now.
Who says two wrongs can't make a right? Oh yeah, that was Andrew referring to these two pettifoggers, Connor and Beard, live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I was thinking about this. I don't think you called us pettifoggers. I don't think you've ever used that term in the history of me knowing you, which, I mean, look, it's not like crazy long, but it's we're getting closer. We're at 6 months now, right? Or close to 6 months, somewhere around there, right, yeah. Andrew?
I would be surprised if I've ever used anything that remotely approaches sounding like that term at any point in my entire life.
Probably used petty. You've probably used the word fog, but not fogger, and you've definitely never put those two together. A pettifogger, Joe George, filling in for Michael Connor. Word. Why?
The first time I heard you say that, that's not what I thought you said.
What did you
clean my ears?
What did you think, guys?
One that should get dumped.
A pettifogger is, that's what Spencer called us in the rejoin. Apparently, Spencer says Andrew called us that one time. But a pettifogger is like a lawyer who uses like petty lawsuits and shady practices to try to get money for people.
Okay.
So that's what a pettifogger is. I don't think Andrew would have ever used that. Hey, the Texans' offensive line, we feel pretty good about where they could be next year, right?
Yeah, feels solid.
We feel pretty good about where the offensive line could end up. Well, guess what? I'm wondering if we may not be a little bit wrong about where we think the Texans' offensive line. Go ahead and give me your, since we did the way too early power rankings for 2024, give me your starting offensive line for the Texans at the beginning of the 2024 season.
Well, obviously, Howard's at right, Mason right guard, Tunsil left tackle.
This is a really weird formation, but I get why you did that, because those are your guarantees.
Can I do a cop-out here?
Sure.
Just say, if Kenyon Green sucks, it will be Scruggs and Patterson.
Okay. Which one? Scruggs at
left guard.
At left guard and Patterson at center?
If Kenyon Green surprises and actually develops into something, he'll be the left guard and Scruggs will be the center.
Okay.
Like I feel okay if they roll into next year with the same offensive line. I know that the run game was not, like the run blocking was not good. My take is that they can't fix it.
They can't fix the run game?
They better get a new left guard, a new center, and maybe a new right tackle.
I actually think Juice Scruggs is pretty decent blocking the run game.
Yeah, because their biggest problem with blocking the run game is their left tackle.
Yes.
Like, Laramie Tunsil, he's great. I get it. I know CJ and all these guys talking about number one left tackle in the NFL. And you're talking about pass blocking? Absolutely. He can't run block. Look at his Pro Football Focus grades. I know it's not end-all, be-all, right? But, like, when they grade Tunsil, they give him 90s and 95s and, like, all these great grades as a pass blocker.
Right.
Then his run blocking is down.
Like 60s and 70s.
And look at the success of the team. CJ is well-protected, and a lot of that's Tunsil, besides when he jumps off sides. He can't run block.
Right.
He can't run block efficiently.
Are you – I didn't know you were allowed to – I didn't know if Jeremy had banned you from
– No. He can say Tunsil now.
Oh, he can say Tunsil
that,
now?
That ended when the season ended.
Oh, okay, good. So you can start using his name again. I agree with you on Tunsil. I think that there are a lot of issues in the run game because of him. I think the run game will be fine as long as they have everybody healthy and they can add depth.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. But I kind of feel the same. Like if I had to go left tackle to right tackle, my starting lineup would be I just don't have faith that Kenyon Green's going to be the guy. So mine would be Tunsil at left tackle. It'd be Juice Scruggs at left guard, Jarrett Patterson at center, Mason at right guard, and then Titus Howard at right tackle. But the one spot where we both agree is Titus Howard at right tackle.
Mm.
Well, on CBS Sports, Chad Reuter, thank you. I always forget how to pronounce that name / word. NFL.com, not CBS. NFL.com, he did a mock draft where he has the Texans at 23 taking Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes, if George Fant has not re-signed the Texans, they need an athletic right tackle like Guyton to play that spot so C.J. Stroud can continue his progression. So the thought here from Reuter is that the Texans are going to be looking for another offensive tackle if they can't re-sign George Fant, which would mean we see Titus Howard at that left guard spot again.
Which, like, as much as I, like Tunsil can run block, just not he's not great at it. Titus can't. Titus is fine with the run game. Like, Tunsil is fine at tackle.
Yeah.
Titus cannot be your left guard.
No.
He's too slow.
No.
He can't pull.
I'm a little...
He was late on every pull block this year.
But I'm wondering if they want a strong left side.
I think he
in the passing game.
To me, I would rather Tytus Howard not be on this team
than be a left guard.
Than be at left guard. I don't think he can play left guard. I think that's a huge mistake.
I don't disagree with that at all.
He's like, a right tackle.
If you have Tytus Howard on this team, Tytus Howard was drafted to this team to maybe play guard if you needed it, but to be a tackle.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be a tackle. The future of the Texans offensive line, but before this season, we were talking about the offensive line is great because the Texans have their bookend tackles with Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil. But I keep hearing all of this noise, and this mock draft is just another notch in this. Maybe Tytus Howard is the left guard moving forward, and they try to draft a tackle, because I've seen multiple people talk about the Texans trying to either keep George Fant to play right tackle or them drafting a guy to play right tackle.
I think they will draft. They could easily draft a tackle. I think it's more likely that they draft, that they do what Tennessee did. Last year, going into the draft, everyone was like talking about Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, he is a tackle. He's a good tackle in college. Arms are short. Maybe he'll be better as a guard in the NFL. Maybe he'll be a tackle eventually, but like that's what Tennessee did. They brought him in. He's a guard until he got hurt. I think that's more likely what the Texans do is they draft a tackle who is actually going to transition to guard, in the NFL.
But would you want to do that with the Texans' first round pick?
Yeah,
really, with the first round pick?
To me, of all the spots, it's best player available.
That's like, fair.
Whether it's to me, like it's going to come down to pass rusher, corner, or guard/tackle.
Okay, so the other spots that the Texans need help, like if we're looking at the draft right now, let's take free agency out of it. They're going to fill some of those spots with free agency, but let's take free agency out of it. Where they're going to need to replace Jonathan Grenard, potentially.
Yep.
They're going to need to replace Steven Nelson, potentially. And I think, by and large, a lot of us agree that they're going to need linebacker help. Now, I think they can really go to the second round for the linebacker
help. Yeah, there's no inside linebackers.
No.
Or even right outside linebackers, whatever.
That are going to fall, be worth it at that 23
spot.
Yeah,
for sure. That's not a first-round pick.
So I think that the three biggest positions where they are going to look to add a guy, I think wide receiver is out in the first round. It's going to be offensive line.
Yep.
In defensive line or edge rusher or possibly interior defensive line, and then that cornerback spot.
Yeah, like if Jazeer Newton from Illinois is there, that to me is a home run pick. Right. I would love that pick if he happened to be there. He seems to be all over the mock drafts. I've seen as high as like 10 or 9, and then I've seen him fall to the Texans.
I
think in the Reuter one, he goes 22.
He is literally 22 right before the Texans pick, and I would absolutely love him. One of the guys that I think would be a sneaky nice grab, especially since we talked about him earlier with Dalton Schultz being gone, is that Jatavion Sanders is available at 23. I'd be really intrigued by that. He's going 21 to the Dolphins, though. But so Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle. Do you think that's the best available when guys like in this mock draft, Quinion Mitchell, Chop Robinson, those guys are available?
I don't think so. Right now at this point it is no. Like I would go Chop Robinson here.
I think even Cooper DeJean would be a better option for them at 23. Cooper DeJean, he's got him going 32 to the Green Bay Packers.
I think he's a stud. I don't think he got challenged in the way that some other guys did because he played in the Big Ten and there's really not a lot of great quarterback play in the Big Ten. But like he's a good ball player. I mean, I watched an ungodly amount of eye-bleeding Iowa football. But like he's
why?
Like,
why?
They're on at 11 a.m.
That makes sense.
I watch a lot of Big Ten football. He's a good player. I don't think Guyton here would be the pick that
I don't know that offensive tackle would be the pick that I make here. Even though there's nice offensive tackles there, I think there are going to be larger needs for the Texans at 23. Well, and I'm fine with the offensive line being constructed the way we think it's going to be constructed. And if you want depth, go with depth in a later round or go with depth in free agency. If there's any idea that Tytus Howard, the big thing here is that if there is any chance that Tytus Howard could be the left guard instead of the right tackle, then I think that is a path and a direction for failure for the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, like, no offense to Reuter. I think this is just like a lack of knowledge about the Houston Texans. And I'm going to go to our NFL.com guy here, Lance. His write-up for Troy Fatanu, the tackle out of Washington,
really good.
He is what we just talked about with Skoronski. That like he might be more of a guard in the NFL than a tackle. So like, and then in this mock draft, they have him going 24 to the Cowboys right after the Texans pick. So I think that makes more sense. Like there are a lot. Yeah. Like I'll tell you this. If the Texans are on the board at 23 and the way this mock draft is playing out with Quinion Mitchell, Chop Robinson, Cooper DeJean, Fatanu, these guys available for the Texans at 23, this is like a draft where I'm like, I'm trading back.
Yeah.
I'm excited about where they are. Even Javon Bullard, I like him. It's so funny because in the write-up here, they talk about Jimmy Ward. I'm out on Jimmy Ward. Like, I want to replace Jimmy Ward. I don't think he can stay on the field enough this year.
Trading back gives you the ability to replace a lot of those different spots, too. And you know, we talked about it earlier. If you're trying to replace snaps, trying to get as many picks as you can is smart.
I would just be shocked if Tyus Howard's the left guard next year.
God, I hope not.
We see a colossal amount of injuries again.
I hope not. I hope that Texans end up making the right moves. But another team in town. Should they make one more move before the season starts? We'll talk about that next here on Connor and Beard on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. I'm hungry.
The Krusty Krab Pizza is the pizza absolutively.